reasons that I love to sing your name.
I'm going to make you work in this message. You ready? First, here's just a little teaser. Later today, and later in the service, not just today, but later in the service, we're just going to have a little brief time for people to share what's something you like about Shelter Rock Church. Now, if you're new, you may be thinking, I haven't decided yet. That's okay. But if you've been around for a while, what's something you like about the church? And just think of something short, right? No long messages. So that's coming later. But I'm going to make you work in this message. Here we go. I want you, now this message, if you notice on the bulletin, it's called Extreme Evangelism. Now, evangelism, that's a word that, it's kind of like a dirty word sometimes, because you get this image in your mind of somebody yelling on a street corner or yelling in a park about why you're going to hell, what's wrong with your life, and this guy's waving his Bible, he's got a poster saying what all the evils in the world, right? That's our picture of it. But I want to re-sign the word evangelism, because it's really a beautiful word that we have distorted. So let's get it back. Let's reclaim it. Let's re-sign it. Take a look at Luke chapter 8, verse 1. Here it is up on the screen. It says this. After this, Jesus traveled. And right away, you got to be thinking, well, after this, after what? What just happened? After the Super Bowl quiz? No. After this, Jesus had just spent some time teaching on forgiveness. All right, it's just a beautiful story at the end of chapter 7 about forgiveness. So after this, Jesus traveled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. Good news. Right, this is where we get evangelism from. This is where we get the gospel from. The gospel is good news. And so evangelism is sharing this good news. I want you to think about it. What is good news? Good news is news that is good, right? Everyone should like good news. So I want us to imagine when we're sharing good news or sharing about the kingdom of God, this is what it can look like. It can look like friends having dinner, talking about what God is doing. Good news can look like a bunch of friends laughing, just being together, sharing, enjoying one another. Good news can be people working together, serving for a greater purpose. This is good news. Like, good news could be a serious conversation where people are sharing their hearts. Another person is really listening. This is good news. And good news, this could be going out on a walk, just talking about what's going on in life. All right, so get the other image out of your mind. This is what good news is. This is what sharing the gospel is all about. Now, the reality is when people are put off by good news, it's not the news they don't want to hear. It's the delivery system that they're put off by. So we got to rethink that, re-sign that. So just back, you keep the slide here, Angel, but back in that verse, it said Jesus traveled from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. Now, the kingdom of God, that is the kingly rule of God in the lives of people and nations. Right? And Jesus is saying, he's proclaiming the good news, in essence saying, it's here. I, Jesus, am the good news. And people actually like that, because many of them they wanted to be freed from this Roman rule. Right? The Jews wanted to be freed from Roman rule. So they're like, yes, good news. We have a conquering king, a Messiah, a Savior. He's going to free us. And Jesus is a conquering king. And Jesus is going to save us. The problem was, the conquering king aspect wasn't for that time. But it's coming. The Bible talks about a day when Jesus will come back as a king. But in this time, Jesus came to liberate them and us from the weight of sin. That is good news. That is good news. Now, this is important. I want you to realize the good news isn't just for a time in our lives. Maybe we can point back to, you know, years ago or this summer, or for some of you today, but a time when we give our life to Jesus. We respond to the good news that Jesus is here for us. We respond to the gospel. It's not just that. The good news is for every day. It's for multiple times of a day. Right? The good news is that we don't have to live with guilt anymore. That's good news. The good news is that we don't have to be bitter anymore. That's good news. The good news is we don't have to try to live perfect lives anymore. That's good news. The good news is we don't have to pretend to be someone that we're not. The good news is we can have peace in our hearts, in our minds. Do you know anyone that can use that kind of good news? Is there anyone here that can use that some good news? Yeah, right on. Absolutely. Multiple times a day, you got to think about what God is doing. That the gospel wasn't just for back then when I gave my life to Jesus. The gospel's for today. But not everyone responds to good news, do they? Let me tell you a story, and I'm just going to make up a name. Tom. It's a true story. There was a guy named Tom that when my wife and I and our three daughters, we started a church in Lower Manhattan, a brand new church. And we were able to meet in a public school. And this the law had just changed to allow this. And so we got the neighborhood school in Lower Manhattan, Battery Park City, and we were renting it. And Tom was furious about it. He would get in my face and say, "You can't meet there, it's wrong." He would rally people in our community against us. If you Google our church, Mosaic Manhattan Church Public School, all right, there's articles about it, and he is quoted, you know, throughout. So this was a person who was very antagonistic. What do you do with a person like that in terms of sharing good news, in terms of being a faithful follower of Jesus and sharing good news? How do you do that? So let's hold that intention. We're going to come back to that. Let's go back on to Luke, chapter 8, verse 4. While a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told this parable. So a parable is just a brief story that is told by way of an analogy to illustrate a spiritual truth. And remember, Jesus in this day, he's speaking to people of an agrarian society. So they were going to understand what he's referencing here. And here's his story. Verse 5. Jesus said, "A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds ate it up. Some fell on rocky ground, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown." When he said this, he called out, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." Now, the next verse, which I'm not going to show you on the screen, I'm just going to skip a few, but basically the disciples are asking, "What are you talking about? Like, what does that mean? We just went from this story on forgiveness and was beautifully illustrated by this woman who was washing your feet. And now all of a sudden we're talking about sowing seed. What are you talking about?" You've got a crowd here, right? I mean, let's work the crowd. This is our opportunity, you know, to get the message out. They're wondering, the disciples are wondering, what he's doing? Why are you telling this story? The disciples don't realize that Jesus has a plan. I mention that because, do you ever wonder what God is doing in your life? Do you ever wonder if he is with you? Why do you, is God silent? Is God working? God, can't you do some miracles in my life? Well, Jesus knew what he was doing. God knows what he's doing in your life. And so to help unpack this, since we're talking about seeds and such, you've been given a soil test kit. All right, go ahead and pull that out. This is the official Luke 8 soil test kit. This works in all places. You can see it works at home, at work, in the classroom, on the road. All right, it works everywhere. So let's take a look at this first one, the path test. And what is it about this? What kind of soil do we have here? Let's look at the verse. This was from verse 4 and 5. Go ahead, Angel. The verse says, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering some seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds ate it up. So, what do we have about the path test here? Go ahead and write the word trampled. Write it right up on the kind of on the side. Not in those lines. Leave those lines. So write it on the side. When we checked the soil on the path test, it was trampled. All right, let's go to the next one. Rocky ground test. And here's what we found out from those verses. Some fell on rocky ground. When it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. All right, so the soil test there for the rocky ground, withered. Go ahead and write that in, withered. All right, let's check the thorns test. Thorns test said, other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. All right, so thorn test, you got choked. Go ahead and write that in there. And finally, the good soil test. Still, other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown. So go ahead and write, you know, crop 100 times. All right, so there's our soil test. All right, so let's kind of hold on to that. We'll come back to this. Now let's find out how Jesus unpacks this. Verse 11 says this. This is Jesus speaking. This is the meaning of the parable. Now, that can't get any more clear, right? The disciples are wondering, what are you talking about? This is the meaning of the parable. The seed, what is it? It's the word of God. He says, those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word, takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. All right, so on the path test, we know it was trampled. So this is describing a person with no faith. So go ahead and write that on the top there. No faith. All right, the next one, verse 13, Jesus says, those seeds on the rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. So it's the people who receive the word with joy, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. So this is someone who has, on the withered soil, they have a dry faith. Right? They didn't get any root. There's no moisture. There's nothing to support it. It's a dry faith. All right, the next soil. He says, a seed that fell among the thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. All right, so in this soil, the choked soil, these are people who have a distracted faith. Distracted faith. And then Luke 8:15, Jesus said, the seed in the good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering produce a crop. So on this one, where they produce the crop 100 times more, just write in healthy faith. Healthy faith. All right, so here's the four of them all together. Right? You have these four different soils. Where seed was trampled, where the seed withered, where the seed was choked, where the seed produced a crop. You got people with no faith, people with a dry faith, people with a distracted faith, and people with a healthy faith. This is life, isn't it? This is reality. This is us. And so here's what I want you to do. Here's what I'm going to make you work a little bit. I want you to, with the person or persons next to you, brainstorm. Okay, thinking about someone with no faith. Do we just not share good news with them? Do we just ignore them? I don't think so. So what are some ways, what are some possible ways, some ideas, in order to share good news with someone who has no faith? What about someone with a dry faith? What are some ideas, what are some ways to share good news, to encourage them, to build them up? And then do the same with distracted faith, and then even with a healthy faith. Right? How do we help someone to continue that? So I've got some thoughts and ideas, but I want to hear from you. So you just take a few minutes. And Jonathan, I don't know if you can give me some background music that we can play. But there's people around you. If you're sitting by yourself, just turn to your left or right, or turn behind you, or tap the person in front of you and say, hi, my name's Greg, but use your name. And you got a few minutes just to brainstorm. What are some ways we can share good news with each of these people? All right, go for it. Hey, Angel, you can keep the other slide up. Let's include Subi there. He's got some good insight. talking. I'm sure you had some good ideas going amongst you, so just tell the person, hey, let's keep talking afterwards. I got some more good ideas. But let's start. So if there's someone in your life who just has no faith, I don't think we just discard them and say, sorry, I have no time for you. No, we are to share good news. We are to be people of good news. So what are some ways, what are some ideas? Talk to me on how to do that.
Bless them?
Awesome. So do something nice for them. Encourage them, bring them a gift, serve them in some way. Is that right? Great. Go ahead. Listen to them. Listen to them. Get to know them. Get to know their story. Get to know who they are, right? As loud as you guys can. Go ahead.
Invite them to church.
Great. Forgive them? Did they do something to you? Okay, yeah. Yeah, right. In a work setting, or even your neighbor. You're sitting next to Bill Lewis. He can be a doozy of a neighbor, this guy, right? So you forgive him. Forgive Bill. Okay. Yeah, something said it's positive. Something good that they've done, and connected to who Jesus is, the character of God. Awesome. This is good stuff. You basically said it. And let me just say, I should have said this. A foundation for all four of these, okay, a foundation, right? This is assumed, is you're going to be a pal, P-A-L. You're going to pray for them. Right? You're going to ask questions. And then you're going to listen to their story. You do this with all of them. Be a pal. You're going to pray. You're going to ask questions. You're going to listen. On top of that, you mentioned some additional things about I had serving them, caring for them. We heard that already. I wrote, invite them to help you with a project, especially if it's related to a church or it's related to a missions trip. Like, hey, I'm going on this mission trip, right? I told you about it. Oh, yeah. Well, we need to build such and such, or we need to, can you help me do that? You just get them involved. Share your faith story. Just let them know where you're coming from. And I wrote, reference media events. Like if your friend's like, can you believe it? This world and this and that and, politics, this and blah, blah. You can segue that into, you know what? That's why we need God. we need to rely on God. Even if they're like, I don't believe it. I know, but I'm telling you, that's why we need God. I'm just looking for ways to get in. Okay, so you have a believer, but it's a dry faith. It's a dry, withered faith. What are some ideas? How can you, on top of being a pal, praying, asking questions, and listening, what else? What can you do? Share your testimony, your faith story. What else? What happened? You guys had all these ideas before. Share the word with them. What I've said is, if this is someone that has a real dry faith, invite them to church. It's likely they're not going. Invite them to church. And I wrote, serve them, but meaning they're likely very busy. Maybe they just need help with their kids or projects in the house, outside the house. Just be available to serve them, to maybe give them some time so that they could go to church as an example. But just serve them. And I wrote, remind them what's true about God and what's true about them. Because a lot of times, people that we know, or when we have a dry faith, we start to believe lies about ourselves, and we start to have a distorted view of God. Well, we need some healthy reminders about, you know what, God loves you. That's what's true about you. God forgives you. That's what's true about you. You're His child. We need reminders about that. And I invite them to a movie or talk to a movie. For example, there's a movie coming out, I think it's next month, called The Case for Christ. It's based on a Lee Strobel book. We got that picture, Angel. You want to show that? The Case for Christ. This is going to be, I haven't seen the movie. I've read the book. I've seen the trailer. It looks really good. But this is a type of thing that, it's kind of geared for people who don't believe in Jesus. But people who believe in Jesus, this would encourage them. A movie that's out now, that's not slated as a Christian movie, but it's incredibly spiritual movie. A great conversation comes out of this. This is the movie Silence. It's Silence. It's a Martin Scorsese film. So maybe there's a movie you guys can go to and just use it as an opportunity to talk. All right, person on the thorns, distracted faith. Just for time, I'm gonna. Any thoughts here? I gotta move a little quicker. So here's some Bible study. Invite them to a Bible study. Do a Bible study with them. Yeah, absolutely. So it's someone who has a distracted faith, right? Let me see what that verse says real fast, because that's key. Hey, Angel, go to, I don't have it written here. Go to, it's verse 7? Angel, go to verse 7 for me. Seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. So there's something that's distracting them. So maybe they need a ride to church. I wrote maybe there's some of the distractions has to do with an addiction. Maybe they're distracted because they're consumed by something else. And so if it's alcohol, if they don't go to AA, why don't you go with them? Or if they go and they're kind of hit and miss, offer to go with them. I wrote, pick them up for church. Right? It's not just inviting them to church, but if they're distracted, all these other things, it might be better to say, hey, I'm picking you up. Be ready at 9:45, or whatever it is, just to be there for them. And then finally, someone with a good soil, here's what I said, encourage them. Right? Things are going well, but encourage them to continue to seek God. Another idea is ask them to train you. Hey, you got a good thing going. Would you teach me? Right, we call that discipleship. Would you disciple me? Would you train me? And another thing to do is maybe they're not doing that. And so challenge them to train others. Like, hey, you need to be investing in other people's lives. Right, so equip them, challenge them. All right, now let me ask you, this is a pop quiz. When you look at these four, right, four soils, four types of people, which person does God love the most? Yeah, I'm hearing a lot of you say all of them. And you think that's true? All of them is correct. It's tempting to think, well, the healthy one, God loves that person the most because look what's happening. No. God loves all of them. And that's why we have to be invested in all of them. Next question, and this is your own answer. Which soil are you at this moment? That's just for you to think about. Which soil are you? Now, here's the reality. It's not like, the reality is you can kind of be in a variety of soils over a week. Or you can have a doozy of a day, right? And things could be going great and like, But which soil are you in right now? Do you need encouragement to keep going? Or do you have a dry, withered faith? This is your homework assignment. I just do this. There's a lot of time before the Super Bowl. Some of you could care less, but you still want the snacks and the commercials. I know it. So between now and the Super Bowl, write out a prayer to God. Write out a prayer to God. Use the back of this. I know there's like something, you know, on there. Just write out a prayer to God. And let me just show you what the back of this means. You guys can come on out. What you see on the back, it's called the Engel scale. It's something that Dr. Engel put together. And it's, you know, negative 10 all the way to positive 7. Now the words on this scale, those are my words. Dr. Engel had much longer phrases, so I just had to condense it. There are people in your life, and you may be a person who's at negative 10. There's people who don't believe in God. Or maybe negative 7, they believe God exists. Or negative 4. Yeah, there's an idea that, you know, there's a personal God. Like, there's basically a whole different range of where people are at. 0 is when someone comes to faith. And then the positive numbers reflect, you know, different things. Now, when we were in the city and we were scattering seed, it's a great visual, scattering seed in the city, because you're literally scattering seed on concrete. The seed is nothing's going to happen with that seed. You actually have to physically break the concrete to find soil. And that's what it's like for some people in your lives. But as you love and serve and care for people, if someone moves from a negative 9 to a negative 6, that's amazing. God is using you. God is doing something. Just because you're sowing seed and investing and praying and caring for people and they don't come to faith, that doesn't mean you're not doing your job. Moving someone from negative 9 to negative 8 is victory. This guy I told you about, Tom, after a few years, he continued to be vocal. We continued to meet in the school. I got an invitation via email from his wife to his birthday party. I thought, this is a setup. Like this first, I actually emailed her back, hey, yeah, I just want to make sure, did you mean to send this to me? She's like, yeah, Tom really wants you to come. And I thought, okay, this is a setup. And so I asked a buddy to go with me. And so we walked to the party and he had it in this like big room. Because he's well-connected downtown. And I walk in, and he sees me. He's like, Greg! And he was really happy to see me, and I thought, how much has he been drinking? But the party had just started, and so he hadn't had too much. He was genuinely excited to see me. And then he started walking me around, introducing, have you met? This is our downtown pastor. This is Pastor Greg. I'm like, what the heck is going on? I'm looking at my friend like, is this real? Like, pinch me. And here's the reality. Tom had no problem with me, had no problem with our church. He had a problem with us meeting in a public school. And so it would have been real easy for me to just dismiss this guy because he hates me and everything. No. It was a specific issue that he had a hard time with. He was thrilled that we were there. He just didn't like the fact that we were in a school. So who are the people who are maybe real reticent to faith? Can you be a pal? Can you pray? Can you ask them questions? Can you listen? I needed to do a better job of that with Tom. Let's pray together. God, thank you for being a God who loves all of those soils, because that's all of us. We need you desperately, and I thank you that you accept us right where we're at. And it's just wonderful thinking that, you know, we get to receive communion. And so I pray for that as we do that now. In Jesus' name.